This morning, Stu is going to minister with us. Stu's got a word from the Lord for us right in line with our campaign. And so I just want to welcome Stu. And I don't know exactly how it's going to go. When you invite some prophetic people to come, sometimes the service can get interesting. So Stu, come on up. And we're just grateful to have you this morning. Minister however you feel the Lord leads. Welcome.
Thank you. Been a great sermon. All right. Forgot my water here. I had one open. That's fine. Amen. Church I go to has two services as well. So which service is the most happening service? Is it first service? Or is it second service? It's the first service? All right, I'm a first service boy myself. I like to get there, get to the first service, you get your time in, and then you get the rest of your day, right? So which section is the most happening section here? Is it this section? Is it this section the most happening section? Here we go. What about this section over here? All right, the first service is where it's happening here today. I just want to tell you, in the series that you're doing as a church called Becoming New, this section over here, I came over and talked to some of you this morning. This is not your section anymore. This is all your section. How many of you guys sit in the same place almost every week? All right. You can't go through a series called Becoming New and sit in the same place every week. So without doing some kind of prophetic action this morning and making you get up and all move, because there's a lot of people out here, your assignment for next week is to sit somewhere else, all right? Become new, sit by somebody new, think about something new, partake about something new. People that are sitting in the back, you need to start sitting in the front row. People on the left, get over to the right to the left, and the centers mix up, however you want to do it. But become new, hey? All right, before I start, there's a couple. You're about five rows back. You got a hat on, brother, like a Raptors thing. Yeah. Can you just stand up as a couple really quick? Just shout out your name so we can get it on the tape. All right. I feel like the two of you are kind of like sports nuts. It's almost like I see remote controls all over your house. You got a TV in almost every section of your house to watch sports and do stuff. And it's like you get to have your own little gaming home group that comes over and plays sports, and just is so into almost everything that's competitive, because the two of you are a competitive couple. What the Lord would say, this is a day for you to like quit being spectators and start becoming avid participators and players on the field. And so I know you kind of sit back and you watch and you see things happen around the church, but the Lord would say, sign up for something fresh, something new, something that stretches you, and watch your tent pegs actually move out, and you start to work in a new way, in a new fashion, and the Lord just is going to start to bless you. Because there's like a leadership mantle on the two of you to start to step out into more things. Brother, you're more one that wants to watch than to do. You'd rather just be the spectator. But sister, there's just good wisdom in you. And I believe that there's just like fun at your house. You both have a real warped sense of humor. So start to get part of like a drama club or a skit club or putting on variety shows, because there's like a latent comedians in the two of you that God wants to bring out. Amen. So get off the bleachers and start getting down on the field. Amen. So in the series the church is going through called Becoming New, you know, people will go to like such great lengths to want to become new and do different things. I mean, think about this. Do you know how much money is spent every year on cosmetic surgery or plastic surgery? Go ahead, just shout out some numbers. $57 billion a year is spent on cosmetic surgery. And that number will climb to $81 or $82 billion by 2032. The most three expensive surgeries are facelift, lower body lift, or the tummy tuck. And the close fourth is kind of like the rear end job, right? Now, you know what happens when you get to be 50 or older, right? You get furniture disease. You're out there going, what's furniture disease? Well, that's where your chest starts to fall into your drawers. Everybody starts going into these great elaborate things to change themselves. You think about it, like how much money is spent on dieting plans per year. $160 million is spent by Americans to go on weight loss plans every year. The personal growth market size is $38 billion, where you're talking about personal help or reading a book to change yourself or to better yourself. The global beauty industry is $648 billion in revenue, and hair salons alone are $91 billion of that. So people spend an enormous amount of money on changing themselves or making themselves look different. Think about karaoke market. Anybody out there done the karaoke thing? Everybody wants to be like their more famous singer that they've always dreamed about as a kid, right? I need somebody, somebody like you. Everybody needs somebody. Nobody even put your thing out. Come on, that was Bryan Adams. He's a Canadian, right? Little Taylor Swift fans out there. Someday I'll be living in a big old city and all you're ever going to be is. Come on, you've all sang that song because somebody ticked you off one time and you wanted to say it back. But everybody wants to change, right? And become something different than they are in themselves. And so think about even just the epidemic around our young ladies and our young girls that struggle with body image. And they want to look like something different, or they're believing in a lie out there that they have to look somewhere different to actually be beautiful. And I want to say to any of the young ladies here today that if you're living in that lie, that there's a breaking in the name of Jesus Christ over you. God made you to be exactly who you are. You are beautiful in his sight. You are a daughter of God, and you've meant to run the full life and not to try to image yourself or be like somebody else. Amen. So what does God say about becoming new in us? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old is past, and the new has come. And I can tell you, folks, that we're going to start our text in John 11 here and read a good chunk of that scripture. And the whole story of John 11 is about Lazarus getting raised from the dead. And Jesus purposely lets Lazarus, when he's sick, and they say, come and heal him to be raised. He lets it actually play on to the point where Lazarus dies, and so God can be glorified. But I can tell you, you can't be any fresher or any newer than being raised from the dead. Amen? Pick it up in verse 32 of 11. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, sorry, I had a double print in my notes there, and the Jews had come along and also were weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him, he asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied, and Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, he who cannot open the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been in there for 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, and his hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Can you think about Lazarus for a second when he actually is raised from the dead and becomes new again to new life? He's been dead for 4 days. What do you think that he does? He starts worrying about his refrigerator list? His little checklist that he had going on, he starts to think about all the little intricacies to try to hold him back, the sin struggles that he had and all these other things. Or do you think that he was made new and fresh? I mean, beloved, we can't get any newer than being raised from the dead. And that's what happened to us when we gave our lives to the Lord, when we were dead in our sins and he raised us to new life. And so what prevents us from being new and living in that newness? I mean, many of us go through life putting our grave clothes back on and letting those grave clothes drag us back down or make us inept for a season. instead of living and becoming new. And I'm really tired of the people of God getting caught up in the sidetrack of the enemy's schemes that keep them from living new and becoming new in Christ and living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the anointing of his quickening in your lives to move. So this is a season where God would say to take off the grave clothes. I can tell you when you come to a near-death experience, you start to view life a little bit differently. In 2019, I went through cancer. I had a tumor in the back of my left nose area that was a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That was the first symptoms. I started to have a lot of issues swallowing, being able to like have my ear unplugged, like, you know, when you fly and you land and your ears have to pop. My ear would never pop. So I went through 6 months of chemo, 9 rounds, 3 hospital stays. And then 2 years later, I had another bout with cancer. And when you're in that series and you're not certain whether or not you're going to come through it or not and come to the other side, you start to look at life all differently. And there's a newness of every single day where you get down on your knees and you say, thank you, God, for another day on this earth, another day that I get to be with my family, another day that I get to live in the gifts that you've given me, another day that I can live fresh. And I can tell you that I've been in full remission now for the whole time. God's healed me through that whole time. But you start to think about, amen, you start to think about what's the most enduring things and the most important things in your life. And so I just want to pray too. Is there anybody here right now going through chemo, going through any kind of cancer kind of stuff? Just stand up if you're doing it. The other church, would you extend your hands towards those that are standing? Lord, we ask for your blessing on them, your quickening on them. We pray a fresh hope of the Holy Spirit on them. Lord, that the cell that is there from cancer would be totally eradicated in the name of Jesus, Father, and that there would be a testimony on the other side of this that I was made new by a touch of the Holy Spirit. And so we come together as a collective church for these individuals that are going through stuff with cancer, and we ask for your blessing on them and your healing touch. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we look at not only being raised to new life, it says in John chapter 1 that yet all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. And so if you're struggling with becoming new, I want to just challenge you gently today to think about the grave clothes that are filling your wardrobe still that you need to take off, because God has rolled the stone away in your life. He's called you out of the depths of the sin. He allowed you to be a son or a daughter of God. He's saying to empty your wardrobe of the grave clothes. Second thing is this, that you're baptized with water and the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that's why water baptism is so important, because water baptism symbolizes the water of the grave. And then when we come up out of the water, we're being raised to new life and we're set in heavenly places. In Romans 6:4, it says, we're buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. And water baptism is a prophetic declaration in your life, where you're leaving the grave clothes behind and you're being raised up to new life. Amen. And God does the same thing for us by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Born fresh into the Spirit of God. And John again in 3:15-16, the people were waiting expectantly and were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come. In the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So what about your God encounter? You think about celebrities that actually look for a new identity. Anybody know who Marion Morrison was? That was John Wayne. Or how about Katherine Hudson? That's Katy Perry. Or Audrey Perry, who is Faith Hill. You look at people that change their names for just a new identity and becoming new. And I really researched a lot of Canadians like Aykroyd, Michael Bublé, John Candy, Jim Carrey, Michael J. Fox. They must all be really secure because none of those guys changed their names. Ryan Gosling, Celine Dion. But have you ever meant or considered what your name means to God? Our name here on earth is our identity. It paints our character, our talents, our stature, our reputation, and also has great significance to God. But think about how God knit you in your mother's womb, how he knew you before you were even born or created. In Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, it says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the son of her womb? Even if she could forget, I will not forget you, says the Lord, because I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand." And when you have encountered God and he called you to new life, there was a cementing, there was a marrying of your destiny before God from your old man to your new spirit-raised life. And there is such purpose in you, there is such power in you that so many of us dismiss it. But God wants there to be a fresh reckoning today in all the sections today that have come to the first service, the happening service, right? That there's a quickening in the Holy Spirit of you, that your name carries a whole new weight that's different in meeting before God. Now, 17 years ago when we were here, Ben and I went on a circuit of kind of all the regional churches, and we went to Yorkton and Herbert, Kenora, Swan River, right? Is that the right one? And there was one, I think it was in Kenora, there was this immigrated couple from Germany that were actually raising bees, or I don't know if they were bee whisperers that ran the bees around for pollination. But when you think about it, he said, you know what, because my last name is Schultz, right? Spelled the right way without a T. You don't need a T to say Schultz, right? But came from a German background, and he goes, you know, if you were the Schultz, it never only meant what your name was in the community, but what you did. And he said the Schultz was the watchman on the wall. And I thought that was so cool that he had said that. But there's a spiritual destiny and a spiritual identification about what your name means to God. You know, in Revelation where it says that he ransomed us, right? And with his blood, he gave us the right of every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people to be called children of God, that you've moved into a new becoming, a new beginning, and your name is so important for him that he died for you to actually have you go into the fullness. And so we're not going to go through life through cruise control anymore, right? We're going to be a people of destiny, a people of impact, a people that actually moves forward. And you look at the encounters in Scripture where people had such a defined encounter, God changed their name, right? Shout out at least one person that had their name changed by God. Paul. Paul was one. I'm going to talk about Paul in a minute. He actually didn't have his name changed. He was dual named when he was young. Jacob is one. Yes, thank you. So there's a bunch of them that they go through, but Abram was to Abraham. Sarah was to Sarai to Sarah, and then Jacob to Israel, and Simon was to Peter. But each time that happened, there was a seismic event that happened in the spirit that caused that shift. And when you gave your life to the Lord, there was a seismic event that changed your name. It might have not changed physically, but it changed in the heavenlies, and it changed in the spiritual realms for you to have a new authority, to have a new power, to have a newness in Christ. We're not going to sit around and have those grave clothes plague us down anymore. We're not going to give ourselves back when times go hard, but we're going to move forward in that name change. But just think about Paul, that, you know, he's like Saul, right? Do you guys do things up here in high school like letter jackets? You know what letter jackets are? So, like, I was a letter jacket kid, ran cross country and ran track, and you would get your high school coat, and you'd get your letter, and then you get all your medals for whatever you did for your award. But when you think about in Scripture who had the letter jacket, Saul had the letter jacket. It talks about, even in Colossians and Acts, his credentials as a Sadducee and a religious man after the Jews and a teacher and a zealot and all these things. I mean, he had the letter jacket, right? And then he gets, when he's persecuting the church, and he's given approval for people to be dragged off and to be put into prison. All of a sudden, God gets a hold of him in Acts 9 and blinds him for a period of time. So he has to actually lose his natural sight and his natural feelings to be able to start to hear God. And he says that you're going to now become and serve me instead of persecute the church. But Paul actually was a Roman citizen. So his Hebrew name was Saulus. His Roman name was Paul or Paulus. And so he started to go by Paul. But think about that transition. I mean, think about the worst character that you can know out there is a killer or murderer or any of those stuff that has made the news. And all of a sudden, there's been a 180-degree retro becoming new fashion that happened in his life because of his encounter with God. And so when you look at the great transformation in Paul, you think about he was totally jealous for the church. He was totally jealous for all things God, all things Israel, all things holy, all the Jewish remnant, everything that was pure. And then he becomes the greatest champion of the Gentiles, the very opposite crowd that he was not even allowed to associate with and talk about. And he goes through that just total 180 degree. So, beloved, I talked about at the onset how much people want to change themselves, how they try to change from the outside in and becoming new. But I want to tell you that change for becoming new starts from the inside out, not from the outside in, where we try to do some kind of different thing or habit or form that changes us to becoming new. But there's an internal transformation that starts to come. It says in Romans 12:2, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you encounter God, there is a seed that's planted in you. Now, I'm a man of the soil, right? I was raised a young dairy farmer with my dad. That's all I wanted to do when I got out of high school was to dairy farm, find a sweet young lady, and just farm for the rest of our lives and kind of like live off the map, right? I love agriculture. I was raised in college in animal science, but then I became a scientist through my training there. And even the company that I work for now, so I worked 10 years when I graduated school for the Coca-Cola company. I was a chemist, and we made all of the fountain drinks for the Midwest region, Coke, New Coke, Sprite, Mr. Pibb, Mellow Yellow, Fanta Orange, Ramblin' Root Beer, all these different things, right? And then when God got a hold of me, I went into ministry full-time and served on a church staff. But then in 2009, that came to an end and that chapter closed. And I went back out into marketplace, and now I work for a bigger agricultural company. And I work in supply chain and things like that for global, across the world stuff. It's not important, but I do get involved in genetics. And the company that I work for now would have probably its hand in the genetics of all of the canola or the majority of the canola that's grown across the prairies here. But when you encounter God, there's a seed that's planted that starts to transform in your life. There's a death, what it says in John 12, very truly I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. And there's a death, just like there was a death in you when you gave yourself to the Lord and you started something new. Germination starts, there's a sprouting, there's a growing, there's a weeding, there's a pruning, and there's fruit, and there's propagation, where there's a little graft that's pulled off you and it's stuck into somebody else or deposited into somebody else, so they in turn. But do you realize how incredibly special you are to God? What a big, hairy deal you are to him. How much God just loves to relish in you, to enjoy in you, to imbibe and have his power come through you. So many of us sometimes will get checked out because we get hurt, we get disappointed. We get offended. All of a sudden, God doesn't feel like he's fresh anymore. But beloved, God always sees us at the finish line versus the starting line. Think about this. Gideon, when he comes up to Gideon, he says, Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now Gideon comes up with his list of excuse. Hey, I'm the weakest clan. I'm the smallest clan. I'm nothing special. I'm actually just hiding in the harvest out here away from the people that come down and plunge us every year. I'm kind of like the one that gets roughshodded or run over. To Peter, he says to Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. To Mary, he says, greetings to you who are highly favored. God always sees you at the finish line versus the starting line. And so many times when we sense about becoming new, we start to hear these things of God poured over us and we go, there's no way, God. I'm going to start listing all of my limitations, all of the things that I'm not worthy of, all the things that I can't do. But God would say, in you is great power and he can move you to becoming new. So let's talk about like this constant renewing. So is this a one-time thing? We give our lives to the Lord, we're made new, and then we just kind of set off on this trajectory on our own. Not the case at all. God is continually moving in us. So when you talk about justification and sanctification, justification is that you were justified for Christ, you were saved once, finally, and for all, and the work was finished and it was done. And sanctification is being molded and shaped and formed and changed into the Christ-like being and this very Christ-like nature that he is. Amen? So I can tell you that when you're going through a season where the Word of God isn't alive, going to church feels mundane, you'd rather just stay home and check out and just watch church from TV. Your faith tank is empty. You feel hopeless. Life is kind of blah. Friends, the enemy desires for you to be inactive. Go back to the story of Lazarus. If you jump in from John chapter 11 to John chapter 12, you see that so many people are so excited that Lazarus got raised from the dead, and there's so many Jews that are starting to follow Christ now because of the great miracle that the actual zealot Jews want to kill Lazarus again. Imagine that, like, I just got raised from the dead. I've been raised to new life. And all of a sudden, they want to smoke him, right? Because he's having too great of a testimony. And I can tell you, in your life, when you're living on fire for Christ, when you're letting the Holy Spirit run in you into its fullness, the enemy wants to sideline you. He wants to check you out. He wants to make you inept. He wants to put your manual in neutral so where you just kind of sit. So poor Lazarus, I mean, he already died once. They're trying to kill him again. But likewise, the enemy will neutralize you with fear, with hurt, with worry, with unbelief, with disappointment, with rejection. He'll drive you back to the things that help you cope. And there's still things that help us cope, even as we're believers. But, I mean, isolation, gossip, resentment, hurt, binge-watching your favorite TV show. No one here has ever watched Yellowstone, right? Nobody? Good. I mean, I'm glad you guys are so pure and your rise has risen above that kind of stuff. But people get hurt and then they go back to, you know, alcohol, drugs, porn, whatever it is, gossip, and they pull themselves out. You know, I'm back in John 3 where it says that he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and he'll baptize you with fire. I believe the fires that continue to come in our lives are those trials and persecutions, and the very things that the enemy would set up as a trap, but it's designed for us to actually take that stuff and drive ourselves deeper into God so that we can be like a steel pylon that gets driven down more, 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 and more. So we can know that sense of faith, we can know that sense of purpose, and that we're not going to get ripped off anymore. When the trials come, there's a chance where you can say, I'm going to check out, and I'm not going to go into neutral, or you can say, I'm going to embrace the trial, I'm going to learn all the things that God's taught me, or it's going to teach me in this time, and I'm going to use it to strengthen me. And what the enemy actually intended for evil, I'm going to turn around for the good of Jesus Christ. Amen. So a refiner's fire that purifies us. Anybody watch Johnny Tremaine? Remember that from the Disney series? Anybody that's under 45 years old in here is going, who on earth is Johnny Tremaine? But you talk about the silversmith, right? Where it has the dross from the silver and the impurities rise up and he burns his hand and the things like that. You have to see that sanctification process is the same thing. That if you mess up, you know what? Don't get spun in some spiral. Don't go down some kind of pity road or woe is me. Because I can tell you, when I was in the cancer throes of that treatment, I would look and kind of navel glaze and go, God, what am I doing here? I am the youngest guy sitting in this cancer ward. I'm the youngest person going through the infusion center. Hey, after all, God, I was a worship leader for you. I've traveled the world and done great things for you. I've like preached for you and prophesied over all these people. So why on earth do you have me in here? And you can either sit there and look at your navel and have the woe is me mentality, or you can have eyes of Christ with compassion that starts to look out to minister. Because every single part of your life, every segment of your life, God's going to drop you into different camps of people, whether you want to be in those camps of people or not. And the challenge is, are you going to choose God and become new in that time and actually minister out and serve people? Or are you going to check out yourself and just become part of the great horde of unbelief? And these are the days where God wants you and needs you and implores you to actually go out and look with the eyes of Christ and have that compassion and let the encounter of Christ and the power of him. My wife and I still are very good friends with several nurses, several doctors, and several caregivers that are, we're in that whole mode of our lives in that period of time. But there's got to be, I would just encourage you, everyone should have at least 5 life verses that are your default verses to go to when you get in situations where it tries to pull you out from being new. In Philippians 3, this is one of my life verses. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining on what is ahead, I press forward towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Church, as I wind down here, the best thing you have is Jesus. He is better. He is better than anything. He's better than making money or being some kind of successful businessman. He's better than having some dynamic ministry where you get to travel the world and pour into people. He is better than any self-help book out there. He is better than any kind of change management thing or any kind of counseling that you can get out there. He does not supersede his word. His word is the fountain, the author, and the perfecter of life. And all the things that we go through is simply a process to drive us to become more like Jesus and realize in our minds that Jesus is the best and the only thing. Better than sex. Better than letting the gossip word go out. Better than letting that criticism come in. Better than giving yourself to some camp of people that are discontented or moving forward. He's better in every single thing, and he is the thing that keeps you fresh and keeps you new. Amen. Hey, who doesn't like a party, right? Who doesn't like getting an invitation to the happening event in town, right? Whether it be a wedding or it be some kind of banquet or it comes to some kind of show, everyone loves to be invited to the party. The scripture tells us that at the end of time, there's going to be a great celebration in heaven where people come to meet God and get to be with Jesus. And it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Revelation 19:9, it talks about this, that the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." And scripture further reveals that not everyone automatically gets in. Again, in Revelation 21, "Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And perhaps you're watching online today. Perhaps you're sitting here today and this is all new to you. You've heard this whole Becoming New series. You've seen this people of God that are at the happening first service, right? That are here to want to engage God, that love God, that want to press harder into God, that have a hunger for the Holy Spirit, and you can see that there's something in their lives that you don't have. And Jesus' invitation is this morning for you to come, because he set a banquet table before you, and all you have to give is your life to him and start to work. So I want to say that God is so proud of you. God loves you. The Holy Spirit is tugging on all of our hearts today to draw us in deeper. But today, if you find yourself sitting on the outside and looking in, God is saying, come home and be part of the family of God and become part of the marriage supper of the Lamb and become part of the party, because the church loves you and you are a big deal to God, but you're a big deal to this church and you fit here. You're part of the fabric and the DNA of this place. Revelation 21 again says he'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older things have passed away and the new things are here. And the throne came back and said, we're making everything new. So we have 27 seconds. Here we go. When you walk away today and you walk out the door of becoming new, know these five things: that God rolled away the stone in your life. Take and keep your grave clothes off. You've been born by the godly descent and raised to new life. Your name is important to God, and there's an eternal seed planted and continue to transform from the inside out. And you'll experience setbacks. You'll be pliable, but be pliable in availing yourself to the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that when I go through times of rejection, or I feel hurt, or I get feeling like I'm sidelined or not being noticed or all these things, there's a part of me that just wants to succumb to worry and fear and control. I tell you, COVID did a number on so many people about fear and control that it's almost like they just wanted to shut themselves in. And there's a tendency in my own life to shut myself down and to almost live my own little comfort zone and not want to move out. I mean, it got so bad right before this trip that I almost stayed home and canceled coming here, because the spirit of the world was trying to speak more than the spirit of the Holy Spirit. But in my heart, I knew that it was better to serve and to break out, because I can encourage you today that if you get struggled with worry and fear and control and all the things that that come with that to try to paralyze you, it's almost like a tourniquet that starts to get on your life and will start to ring and ring and ring, and everything else starts to shut down even more instead of that tourniquet being released. And the way that tourniquet gets released is by stepping out and doing it, by stepping out and going, and by stepping out and obeying. So, hey, you know what? You're part of the big shebang of God. And he loves you, and he is so excited. So therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has come, and the new is here. So bring on the new. Amen. Love you guys.
Thank you, Stu. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Savior, and you've heard Stu preach this morning and realize I'm outside of the family of God, I just want to close with a prayer of salvation today. And just wherever you're sitting or wherever you're watching at home, if you want to just pray with me, and as I pray these words, you pray them in your own heart, and God will see what's in your heart this morning. Jesus, I come before you recognizing that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I want to be part of your family. I want to spend my eternity with you. And so I just come this morning to surrender my life to you, to give you my life. Jesus, take my filth, take my sin, give me your righteousness. This morning, I just place my faith and trust in what you did on the cross for me. I ask you to place your Holy Spirit on the inside of me and make me new, transform me from the inside out. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you here, but if you need prayer for anything, we have a prayer ministry team that would love to just pray with you. You just need to come forward here to the front, and we have people that would love to pray with you for anything this morning. Don't forget to come back tonight at 6 for some prophetic fun, and we'll see what God will do. Bless you, everyone.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.